Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. As always, we appreciate you listening to the show. Today, we're sitting down with listener Trisha to talk about two trips in one. We're going to talk about a stay over the Princess Half Marathon weekend last year at the Contemporary. And then, how about a gigantic trip with 19 guests staying at the Polynesian? Living life well, so stand by for that. Lots of fun today. First, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at The Wisdom of Walt. Two great books right there. Two great books, not in one. They're separate books, but they're great books for the dog days of summer. And let's face it, it's August. It's hot. Grab some lemonade. Grab one of these books. You got The Wisdom of Walt, the original book by author Jeff Barnes, talking about how Walt Disney, the guy who we always look up to, took his dreams and chased them down with a great team around him, turned his animation career, which was very successful, into a three-dimensional experience that we can walk through. Then you have Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, the newer book that is focused more on the East Coast Disneyland or Walt Disney World. Check out these great books. You can pick them up on Amazon. You get ebooks, audiobooks, hard copies, even signed copies by author Jeff Barnes. Check it all out today over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. For the cost of a couple of those churro ice cream sandwiches at Sleepy Hollow, you're set up with 365 days of the best information to make your next vacation great. Check them out today. Let them know you heard about them here. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1364 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. Can you believe it? We're settling into the first full week of August. My wife is back to school already. Kids aren't coming back for another couple days, but she went back on August 1st. This is one of those weeks where I'm glad I'm not in education anymore. There are a few times that I miss it, especially on the last day of school for summer break. But right now I'm like, kind of nice not setting up a classroom in 100 degree heat. So we're glad that you're here for some fun Disney talk to kick off this week. I hope it's a great one for you. We appreciate your time so very much. So of course, it's Monday, time for a great trip report. And we're heading out to the wonderful, beautiful state. I seriously love it. And I'll be there in just 3 weeks, right out to Indiana. Trisha's joining us. Trisha, how you doing today?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're heading out to the Indy Disney meet here in about 3 weeks to raise money again for Give Kids the World. So can't wait to be back in the Hoosier State.
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
It's a great state. It is. It's beautiful. So anyway, we're not here to, you know, we're not sponsored by the Indiana Tourism Department, but it's a great state to visit. But let's talk some Disney. And you had a couple of trips that we're going to jump into because they're very different type trips and they're a lot of fun. So right now a few weeks ago, we had the fervor for like the first registration under a new system for marathon weekend. So next up is Princess Half Marathon Weekend registrations for 2019. So let's hop back to last year, 2018's Princess Half Marathon Weekend. You went down, you weren't running, I don't believe, but you did go down that weekend, correct?
Right. Yes. My mom and I went down to support my sister Faith as she ran in just the half race. So we went down to watch her run that race.
Only at Disney can we say just the half and just a full marathon. It's whenever I hear that, I'm like, something's wrong with that picture. That's still 13 miles.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy. All right. So tell us, you went down. So as a spectator and as somebody that was part of what we call the cheer squad, you know, the support team. What was this trip like? Where'd you guys stay and how did it go for you?
Yeah, we stayed at the Contemporary, which was the first time I had ever stayed at one of the, three big resorts. I had never stayed at any of them. So we were really excited to stay at the Contemporary.
So why did you pick that one? Because there's, you know, you have like 22 choices. Mm-hmm. I love to hear people's thinking, like, you know, sometimes we pick French Quarter, sometimes we go Polynesian. Why the Contemporary on this trip?
Well, It was a little bit cheaper this time for us because there was only three of us going. So normally when we go with large groups of our family. So the Contemporary was, you know, convenient because we could walk to the Magic Kingdom. And then also we thought that it would be more convenient in, you know, with the race and trying to get back and forth and trying to find my sister when she was running.
That's a great point there, because during, you know, I run a lot of the races, and I'll tell you that your hotel choice during a race weekend, if you're a spectator or an athlete who's competing, is very important, because you're going to either spend time getting to the start line if you're running, or trying, like you said, if you want to spectate, you got to be smart. It's hard to get around. So if you put yourself in the best situation, like you have the monorail at your disposal, huge advantage. Right. So I've never stayed at the Contemporary, one of the few places I still haven't stayed. What did you think? You know, I know everybody has a perception of what it would be like, and I've definitely walked over there many times from the Magic Kingdom to catch an Uber, to get something to eat, you know, to take a break from the crowds. But what was it like setting up a shop there at the Contemporary?
Yeah, I have to say that I was a little disappointed. The rooms were fantastic. They were large and super accommodating. You know, there was nothing to complain about, but they weren't really Disney. I kind of felt like I was just at another hotel, you know, but I was on Disney property. That's with the rooms. Now, I love the resort itself. I've eaten there at their many restaurants, but just the rooms, I was kind of like let down a little bit, I guess you could say.
You know what, though? I think, and don't hate on me, everybody, because I know you're probably on the subway or you're, you know, mowing the grass or something and you're listening today, but I think the trend with Disney is, I don't think they're taking away the Disney in the rooms, but I think they're moving away from the like over the top Disney themes. I'm just thinking of like Coronado Springs, Pop Century. Wow.
Sure.
They're really great rooms, but you're right. It's not as like bright in, you know, air quotes, Disney as maybe 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, I totally agree with that.
So did you find it, you know, other than like the room layout, did you find it to be, you know, what you needed as far as convenience with that location? Did that work out well for you with all the race things going on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Having the monorail was really an added bonus. We couldn't walk to the Magic Kingdom that morning. We had to ride the monorail, right? Which was kind of a bummer. But then I thought, oh, well, that's part of the race track or whatever, you know, where the runners were running was where we would have walked into the Magic Kingdom. So that made sense. But yeah, we found it really easy to get to the Magic Kingdom at, I think we got there at like 5:30. It was still dark out.
That's late for runners. We get up at 2:30.
I know.
Just kidding you. Shoot, I've had breakfast and getting ready for lunch by 5:30.
Yeah.
So how did the weekend go, though? Because, of course, when you're down there for a runner, with a runner, I can tell, I always tell my family thank you so much when they come down. I think I'm going solo for marathon weekend because Mallory's got a cheer competition this year that weekend. But I always, you know, thank them because it's tough because I have to go to bed usually around 8:30 or 9 o'clock. Well, I should. I usually don't. But, you know, when you're on vacation at Walt Disney World, you don't want to go to bed at 10 o'clock. You know, you want to stay up and have a good time. So how did that dynamic change from a typical vacation for you guys?
Yeah, we all were kind of in it together because we were, you know, getting up early. And so we just decided to kind of, you know, give my sister a break. And we kind of went to bed when she went to bed. And that was the reason why we were down there. And we were only there for the weekend. So, yeah, we kind of accommodated her.
Nice. So did you guys do any park touring? And if so, what were some of the highlights?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I got to see Pandora for the first time, which was amazing. And actually, while I was down there, I got to volunteer at Give Kids the World, too, on the first morning. My mom and sister went to Animal Kingdom and rope dropped to try to get on Flight of Passage. And I went to Give Kids the World and then met them there later in the day at lunchtime. So that was a real highlight for me, besides, you know, seeing my sister and being at the Magic Kingdom when it was virtually empty when we were walking in. So that was really cool.
I love this idea because one, Flight of Passage, I've given it three shots now, twice. I've almost hurled. I just can't do simulators. Like, I love it. I know it's an awesome attraction.
Really?
Oh, but it gets me. I mean, I did it twice this past trip again. I'm just like 10 more seconds, I was done. But most importantly, I did this time. I did. I mean, I don't know what we were at the very, well, we were in the middle of the, like the, you know, left or right. We were pretty high up, though, as far as, like, I could see below me a ton of people. But, you know, I just think that Mike and simulators just don't, we'll never get along, I think.
Okay.
It's weird.
So, well, at least you tried.
Yeah, that's right. So right now, we're actually in this month where we're really supporting Give Kids a World. We had the 12-hour live show raise over $31,000 because of our great listeners for Give Kids a World a few weeks back. We're heading to Indy for the Indy Disney Meet, of course, supporting Give Kids a World. What was it like to be there? Tell our listeners what it's like to volunteer there real quick.
Yeah, my husband had volunteered there before, and he was so just impressed and just felt really blessed to even, you know, give back a little bit, that he encouraged me to try to do it on this trip, since, you know, we didn't have our kids. I didn't have my kids with us. So I decided to go ahead and do that. And I ended up working that morning at breakfast, and I worked in the kitchen and actually washed dishes, which was a lot of fun. I mean, no, most people don't think that's glamorous, and it's not so glamorous, but I had a really good time, and I was able to, you know, meet a few families while I was doing that too.
I think a lot of those things are, you know, they need everybody to do everything down at the village. We got to visit and I saw that exact same thing, you know, whether you're serving pizza, scooping ice cream, you know, helping with, some people are even kind of doing like maintenance type things, you know, not hard labor or anything, but, you know, just making sure things are set for the day. But I would imagine that just being there and, you know, being in that environment, because you know, they have a cool looking logo. I'm looking at the logo right now on their website, and it's got, you know, the kind of looks like a mushroom, like a little red and white mushroom type thing, you know, just real fancy little castles and so forth. But what were your thoughts when you arrived? Because when I got there, I was like, wow, because it is kind of out in the middle of, you know, nothing. Like, you're like, we're going behind a Walmart here.
Yeah.
Is there something going to be back here? And then you get there, it's like, oh my gosh, it's such an amazing place.
Yeah, I was really worried about getting lost because you can't see it from the main road, you know, that you have to turn off of to get down, you know, to get to the entrance. And I was like, this is a residential area. What is, or there's a shopping center. What is this? You know? And, yeah, as soon as I went through those gates, I was blown away. I just thought, wow, you know, these kids are, they deserve everything, you know, what they're going through, and their families. And I thought, wow, they're doing something right here, because, you know, just my 4 hours on property, I was so amazed at the facilities and just the friendliness of the staff. And I know many of them are volunteers, like the majority of them are volunteers. And I just couldn't believe how seamlessly everything was just, you know, initiated. It was amazing to me.
Okay, one more question about Give Kids World, then we'll hop back over to the world. How hard was it to get set up with volunteering? Because I know a lot of our listeners ask a lot and they think about doing this on their upcoming trips. Do you just, I think you just go online, right? And fill out they do a little background check, fill out a form, and you're good to go.
Oh yeah. And then I would receive email, just follow-ups, you know, confirming that I was planning on volunteering that day. They kind of ask you what times are you available? And then, you know, what you would prefer to do during those times. So yeah, it was really easy. And as I checked in, and great instructions on how to where I needed to be. And, you know, the volunteers that were there, there's just a lot of regulars there, and they were just so friendly, and, you know, they're used to new people coming in all the time. So, they were just really great to work with.
Yeah. My buddy Adam down in Huntsville got to drive the train. I mean, that's like a dream. You know what I'm saying? Like when I volunteer at Give Kids a World, I want to drive the train because I'm a train freak. I like their train set too. They have the world's coolest train set, which I could play with for hours. And I did play with it for a long, long time when I was there. I was like, well, I'm going to make that bridge do this, and I'm going to make that train go through this tunnel. It was awesome. Anyway, let's get back to Disney. So let's wrap up the princess trip. You guys, you went over to Give Kids World. Your mom and sister went over to Pandora. But what were some other highlights of like park touring, maybe a nice meal or two you had over the race weekend?
Yeah. So our second day, we did the Keys to the Kingdom tour at the Magic Kingdom. And I would really encourage anyone to do that going for a short amount of time, especially like we did. We were only there for 3 days. Being able to do the tour kind of gave us an opportunity to kind of hit those rides right away and do backstage fun things. It was just really cool to find out some of the history behind the Magic Kingdom and Walt and his vision.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. I've done that tour. I've done a bunch of the tours, but that's definitely, I think everybody should be there first. And I think with a lot of our fans, it'll be your favorite. I mean, it's got a little bit of everything. You know, you get a lot of history, you get a nice lunch, you get little surprise at the end. You get to go in the Utilidors. That's pretty sweet. The utility. Actually,
that was really neat. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, they're very utilitarian. Like, I don't know if I pictured them to be themed as much as Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, but they're not.
No. We actually saw some performers getting ready to go up to do, I think it's like right before the parade. They like on the Cinderella Castle stage, they kind of do like a little show. And we saw some of the performers like walk past us to go up to the entrance to go perform. It was neat.
That's cool. When you see them during the parade up, you know, on stage, you just kind of wink at them like, I saw you 30 minutes ago. We're buds. We know.
Yeah.
That's so fun. All right. So well, let's wrap this trip up with, how did your sister do? Did she enjoy her half marathon experience down at Princess?
She did. I think she's possibly thinking of, you know, running with some friends maybe this year or next year. So I think, you know, she definitely has the bug now that she's ran one race down there. I think she's going to try again.
Yeah, it typically happens, and there goes your wallet, I can tell you. Because I know I just spent $638 on the Dopey Challenge again 3 weeks ago. I'm like, am I doing this again? Like, I'm paying $638 for like six shirts and the opportunity to get up at 2:30 in the morning, 4 days in a row, and run, and it's probably going to be colder than anything. Because there's always crazy weather in that weekend. It always, but God help us. Every time they put the registration out there, I'm hitting the button, and I'm sure your sister will be the same.
Probably, yes.
All right. So let's talk about your other trip we want to talk about. And it was a little fake news in the ad read there at the top. I thought it was Polynesian. We're talking Pop Century. Yeah, same thing. Not really, but I love both of the places. But you went down with a huge group. So the family, I guess, you have a family that large?
Well, it's my husband's family. This is the first time we've ever all gone down together. So there were 19 of us. So if you look up hashtag 19 Crawfords on vacation, that's us.
Good Lord. I can't imagine. So this is what I want to hear about, because I would lose like at least three or four people throughout the trip. Like I'd go down with 19, come home with like 12. That's just how, I mean, I was a school teacher. That's scary to think about. But okay, so talk about the planning of this, because it's, what is it like in the American Adventure? They talk about making, you know, 13 clocks chime at the same time. I mean, this was even worse than that, I'd imagine. How do you even get the ball rolling on where you're going to stay, when you're going to go, who's going? I mean, how's that all happen?
We had, I know that we're really lucky where we all get along really well. And everyone was just so excited. A lot of my nieces and nephews had never been to Disney. This was their first time. So, my father-in-law and mother-in-law were really great, because we were celebrating my mother-in-law's 60th birthday. That's what she wanted, was for all of us to get together. And so we started planning, you know, a year in advance, and just started kind of having a conversation like, well, what, you know, resort would everyone like to go to? And so we started just starting those questions, and then from there start, you know, eliminating other places. So yeah, we ended up on the going to Pop Century, which was really great.
So what was it about Pop Century? Was it the value? Was it the theme? Was it the location? Yeah, I mean, did it just fit best for everybody?
Yeah, I think the value of it, because we also went to Cocoa Beach afterwards. So we knew we were going to have a beach trip. So, you know, we spent 4 days in Orlando, and then went to the beach after that.
Nice. Okay, so it sounds like you have, a lot of very Disney veteran type travelers in the group, and some people it's going to be their first time, but did you or, you know, your husband or somebody take the lead and just kind of plan everything out and be the liaison, or did you have brainstorming sessions? Did you like share stuff through Google? I just like to always, I love hearing the mechanics of these larger trips, like how you communicate, how you get everybody's ideas heard.
Yeah. Luckily, four of the five families, we all live in the same town here in Indiana, and my brother-in-law and sister-in-law and their two children live in Denver, but we got together many times, and, you know, like I said, we were kind of like, well, what are you interested in doing? You know, what park would you really like to hit hard? And so we were able to get together and kind of, you know, talk face-to-face, which is easier, I think, than text or email. But my husband and I did, you know, the dining reservations, and then we also did the mostly the fast passes, kind of like guided everyone. But everyone ended up doing their own thing in the end. But we just we were kind of together most of the time, but we split up a lot of time during the day too.
And I just personal experience, because we've gone, you know, we go with a lot of friends and, you know, some family sometimes, but the thing I've noticed is exactly what you said, I think, is the key to a large group successful trip, is that you have to break up. Yeah, as much as you picture yourselves being together the whole 4 days, 5 days, and that's fun, I think that every family, you know, little nuclear family or, you know, couple or whatever, you need to go off and do some exploring on your own. Get back to, I like getting back together for meals and, you know, fireworks and stuff like that. But
exactly.
It's so hard to keep everybody together for a long period of time.
Yeah, we would get together to swim, and we did all of our meals, one meal a day together, and then kind of just left everyone to their own devices. And if we happened to get fast passes at the same time, we tried to coordinate. But yeah, it's too hard with, you know, 19 families. And then the grandkids are ranging from, you know, one-year-old to 11-year-old, and there's 9 of them. So yeah, it was a lot.
But as a kid, though, like I'm picturing these kids at that age. I mean, they had to have been just so excited, because I remember, you know, seeing my cousins, and I didn't get to see them very often when I was a kid. You saw them, you know, Christmas, Thanksgiving, maybe a couple of other times of the year. And, you know, I love seeing my cousins. I didn't have any brothers, and they were boys, and we, you know, did boy things and got in trouble when we were all together. But it was like, if we could have had like 4 or 5 days down in Florida together, that would have been sweet. So I bet the kids really enjoyed that time together in such a special place.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, they all get along really, really well, and they had so much fun swimming together and, you know, just going on some of the rides and, you know, getting, you know, their cousin to go on the ride with them that they're a little scared of. And so, yeah, it was really cool.
What was it like when you guys kind of first arrived down at Walt Disney World? Because I'm sure the anticipation of, okay, because that's how we get, you know, it's like, you know, we go down like, oh, the gardeners finally got here. You know, we might get there first. They might get there first. We get together. We start to kind of, the group starts to assemble like on marathon weekend. What was it like when everybody first got together? And now we're here. It's happening. Let's go have some fun.
Yeah, we all kind of, you know, got to our rooms, unpacked a little bit, and all the kids, obviously, the pool.
Yeah.
So we went swimming and, you know, just kind of like snacked and decided to roam, to just explore the resort. It's just so themed, like, you just feel like a kid. I don't know. I love the theming at Pop Century. And then we walked across the bridge to Art of Animation, and, you know, the kids just thought that the, you know, different areas like Cars and Little Mermaid and Lion King, and they just thought that was so cool to see, you know, the statues that were over there, and they just loved it.
Yeah, Pop Century has some really fun pools. They have, obviously, the computer pool down towards the 80s. They have the 50s pool, which is the bowling pin. And then they have the, what I call the hippity-dippity pool right there, the feature pool by the 60s, hippity-dippity pool. But, you know, they're all a lot of fun. I know the values don't have slides, but I love the pools at both Art and Pop Century. A lot of fun there. So everybody gets their swim on. That's a good idea, because that's something everybody can do at the same time. There's no waiting in lines. You know, right. You know what? I didn't even think about that, but that's a great way to kind of kick things off, because A, with the kids, you're getting them active and burning off all that energy because they're excited. They've been traveling. But also, I bet you guys as adults just kind of got to catch up and like once we get out of the pool, you know, we'll get dressed, we'll do this, and then we have a plan moving forward. But the kids are having a good time, not standing around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it worked out great.
So where did you guys head first to check out and have some fun in the parks?
My father-in-law's only request was, we have to go to Magic Kingdom the first day. I just want to see the kids' faces when they walk down Main Street. So that's what we did. We went to Magic Kingdom on our first day, and we ended up getting reservations at Crystal Palace for breakfast. And just having that character interaction, my youngest nephew is one, and he was like crawling trying to follow Pooh Bear. He just loved Pooh Bear. he was so sweet. It was just great.
That's all. You know what? That's what it's all about. And I'm sure that right there and then everybody was kind of saying, you know what? This is why we came to Walt Disney World. These are the moments that are really hard to recreate anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So now you guys are at the Magic Kingdom, starting off with a great breakfast. Oh, I've only had it a couple times, but it's so good there. The breakfast is so good.
It is. It's just traditional American breakfast. You know, it fills you up and it carries you through the day.
Yeah, we're both from the Midwest. Whatever they have there is works out just fine for us. We don't have to, you know, it's exactly. Not super fancy, but it's so good. You know, I love Tigger Pooh and Piglet, but you know, and Eeyore and everybody. But you know what? Scoot out of the way. I'm going to get my fifth pancake and some sausage and I'm set. So you guys are there though. You've put yourself in a great spot, full bellies, ready to roll. So what's that first day at the Magic Kingdom like? Like so many things to do. How do you decide what you're going to do?
Yeah, we kind of really hit Fantasyland hard, especially for the kids, and just, you know, did all the basics like Small World, Peter Pan, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, Ariel, Dumbo. You know, we just really focused in that area.
So highlights, like you mentioned the one-year-old, you know, any of the other kids or did any, just, I'm sure there were some great memories as a family. So what stands out now that we look back months and months later?
Oh yeah. One of my niece Delaney, she's just such a sweet little girl, and she's, very reserved and shy sometimes. I mean, once you get to know her, you get to know her pretty well. But we were all amazed by how much of a daredevil she was on this trip. And she was just like, I want to be at the front of the roller coasters. And I mean, she was just fearless on this trip. It was so fun to see. And she just loved it.
There you go. Yeah, it's shocking. You know what? I've heard that from many, many people that, you know, the shy kid or the kid who is, you know, like you have two siblings, the one, you know, is the daredevil that's jumping off mm-hmm. the roof at your house, and the other one, you know, won't go outside because it's, you know, they didn't put their sunscreen on. But then you get to Walt Disney World and they're a nut, you know. So it's like, I don't know what it is about the place, but I've heard that many, many times.
Yeah.
Fun. So now, did you guys stay the whole day, or did you split it up, or how'd that go? Did you stay till fireworks?
We always take a break during the middle of the day, and it was really hot the week that we were there, the first week of June. So we always take breaks and then we go back to the park. We didn't have park hoppers for this trip, with everyone. So we went back and just kind of took a little bit of a nap and then came back and, just kind of enjoyed the evening. I don't think we didn't stop to watch the fireworks, but we were there for the fireworks, if that makes sense.
You did it the Ricky Niblett way. she sees them as she's running to the next attraction is typically what she does.
Right.
I love it. And you know what? You toured the Mike Rallman way because I got to have my nap. If I don't have my nap, especially in the summer, I'll tell you what, boy, I became the king of the nap here last month down there because it was hot and it's like, give me like an hour to take a nap and grab a shower before I go back out, you know, change clothes in the evening and I'm golden. But I mean, if I try to power through it, all bets are off. I'm a crab.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That doesn't work for us.
Yeah, you got to know your limits. Exactly. I mean, you know, not that I'm still kind of napping. I got in a bad habit on vacation. So now I got too much to do, but I tried to sneak in a nap, you know, on Saturdays or something. But anyhow, let's talk about the other days. So you guys went to Magic Kingdom first day, kick everything off. Let's kind of combine the rest of the days. Like you went, what other parks did you go to and what highlights did you have from those days?
Yeah, we ended up doing Animal Kingdom and Magic Kingdom again. So we were able to do Pandora. Some of us got to do Flight of Passage. We rope dropped that day because we could only get the fast pass for the Navi River Journey. So that was really cool. I was about ready to give up on the line because we were all the way on the bridge going into Africa when we got in line. And I looked at my father-in-law and I said, how long are you willing to wait? Or he said, wow, this is long. And, you know, how long you're willing to wait? And I said, well, maybe 2 hours. And he goes, I don't know if I'll wait 2 hours. And I said, okay, well, then let's go, you know, do something else. He's like, well, the park isn't even open. We might as well just stand in line. So we stood in line and we got to the front of the line in an hour. So I was amazed by how fast the line was moving.
Yeah, I've noticed that a lot lately with Disney. And we had Len Testa on the 12-hour live show. You know, very kind to join us again this year. And what he said and what he's saying on his show with Jim Hill as well is that it seems like, especially over the past year, that Disney has been almost grossly overestimating the wait times. I think that's getting people to kind of balk, you know, and get away from the line just to keep things under control. But I noticed that, you know, I was down there for the Slinky Dog weekend where it started in Toy Story Land. And many times we'd see a wait time that in actuality, it was probably 25% less, you know, or something like that. So That's common. Yeah. So, you know, I think that's a lesson. I mean, you're always rolling the dice when you jump in a line, but I mean, it sounds like more often than not, you're at least going to get that time or less. And sometimes it sounds like it can be significantly less.
Yeah. We were surprised.
So when you got up
we
there,
thought
though,
we'd be there all day.
When you're on that bridge in Africa, man, you're pretty far from even Pandora. Like you're that's a long bridge in itself. So did everybody like that attraction? Was it a hit? Was it worth the wait? What did people say?
Oh yeah. My father-in-law said that's the best ride he's ever been on in his life. We originally started the day with six of us going, but my son, as we're walking into Animal Kingdom, got sick in the parking lot. So my husband had to take him back to the resort. So it was just me, my father-in-law, and my two other sons.
That's bad luck.
We ended up hitting it up at the end of, after the beach, our family went back without all the rest of them to Disney for 5 days. So we hit it then and when we went back, so he was able to go on it. But yeah, that day was only, it was an amazing ride. I can't talk about it enough, how awesome it is if you don't have motion sickness.
Yeah, everybody loves this ride and I just keep trying it. I'll ride it again because I see what everybody sees. Like it is sweet. That thing's breathing on, you know, like you feel like it's breathing mm-hmm. below you and you're swooping through and all of a sudden the red banshee pops out and wants to kill you, you know, and you're going through. I mean, it's crazy. It's so fun, but it's like, I was like, just don't get sick. Just don't get sick. That's all I can think about. If it wasn't for that wind, I'd be dead. I mean, because that wind helps a lot. Because it kind of feels real. Yeah. So you guys went to Animal Kingdom, waited in line for that. Any other highlights from Animal Kingdom in the days you were there?
I mean, we went to Tusker House for brunch. We kind of, you know, intentionally scheduled it at 10:50 so that we could have breakfast when we got there. And then they changed it over to lunch. So that's a tip if people don't already know that. So that was kind of neat. I don't know. We enjoyed it.
That's also the Ricky method to get two meals in one. She does that all the time. You need to travel with Ricky. She's pretty sly. Okay, look, I got to ask you this too, because you mentioned you went over to Coco, which we used to do all the time when we drove. I love going over to the Space Coast because I'm a space nut. You guys are near Purdue, home of a lot of the astronauts. I believe Neil Armstrong graduated from Purdue, correct? Right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the astronauts did. I love getting over there and it's just such a cool area, you know, and you guys went over. So how difficult was it? And was it a success kind of combining the Cocoa Beach aspect with a Walt Disney World vacation? What'd you think?
We really loved it. When you're at Disney, it's not really a relaxing vacation. Most of the time you're on the go and you're really tired if you don't rest properly. So doing the beach after Disney was just so relaxing and just rejuvenating. And we really liked, that was the first time I had ever vacationed doing it that way. So that was just really, really great.
Yeah. One of my favorite restaurants in the world anywhere. I don't know if you guys went there. It's very famous. It's over in Titusville, which is just north of Cocoa. It's called Dixie Crossroads and they have rock shrimp. And it's it's so good. I've been there a few times. It is so good. It's always packed. I mean, it's like it's definitely like a tourist trap. Oh, Dixie Crossroads. It's got some great seafood. Something called rock shrimp. They said they just discovered it one day on a whim. It was kind of like the, you know, stuff that nobody wanted and they figured out a way to mm-hmm. make it nice. And oh my gosh, it tastes so good. So just a hint for everybody heading over to the Space Coast.
Go there next time.
Yes. It's a great big place in Titusville. All right. So you guys, it sounds like it was a very successful trip. I mean, we don't have a ton of time left, but what lessons were learned with, especially on this one with the, you know, the larger group, you guys go to World, then you go to Coco, then you come back as a family to kind of wrap things up for 5 days. What, you know, do you have any highlights or what lessons were learned with something, you know, cause it seems kind of overwhelming to get started with a trip that big.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, if you know, communicating is really, really important because you don't want to kind of bulldoze someone other's vacation. You know, you want everyone to be on board and compromise and what they want to do. I mean, we knew we were going to go back after the beach. So we just were like, whatever you guys want to do, you know, we're game. You know, we just had no, real hard plans and we wanted to be really flexible. So just talking about, you know, expectations and what people wanted to do on the trip and, I think taking that midday break, I know that some people just think that's wasting time. on your, you know, Disney is so expensive. So you're wasting that, you know, those few hours that you could really, you know, spend at the parks. But with having young kids, it's just always worked out for us to go back for, you know, two to three hours, even sometimes is what we do. And then just kind of close the park out. And it just kind of brings back a little life to everybody. And no one's as crabby as they were, you know, it just kind of brings life back to everyone. I don't know.
Well, it does, you know, and it's about quality over quantity. I mean, you could get way more hours in the theme parks, but, you know, I've noticed that those days where I don't go back and take a nap just for one reason or another, we'll have an event in the afternoon or, you know, you want to stay and see Festival of Fantasy, say, you know, at 2 or 3 o'clock. And the thing is, like, by 7 o'clock, I'm just, I'm like a walking zombie. But if I go back and take a nap, I'm like refreshed. It's like brand new. I'm recharged. You know, I've taken a shower. You know, I'm not sweaty anymore. I'm good to go. I'm not sweaty for the first 10 minutes after I walk out of the hotel. But it's like, it's automatic. But yeah, I think that's a great point. And I also like your point that, you know, maybe that's something to consider, that if you're going down with a large group and you do want to kind of put the group first, especially the first timers and the folks who, the folks that aren't going to have the opportunity to go as often as a lot of the folks listening to our show. But I love the way you sneaked in that trip on the back end that probably made it very easy for, like you said, to just say, you know what, this part of the trip, whatever you guys want to do is totally up to you, because later on we're going to have the opportunity to kind of get a little selfish because it's just us and really hit our favorite things.
Right. Exactly. That was exactly our mindset.
Nice. I like that. So just do you have any trips set up in the future? Anything you're looking forward to with Disney?
We're actually going on our first Disney cruise with my family. So I think there will be 19 of us at that time too.
Holy cow.
We're going. So this time we went with his family, my husband's, and this time we're going with mine to a Disney cruise. I think we're going on the Dream.
Nice.
To the Bahamas. Does that make sense?
Hey, we're going on the Dream with a bunch of people in the Bahamas too.
That's I think it's in March or April, first week of April, last week of March, somewhere around there.
I will tell you this. Let me just tell you something to get you even more excited, because this is your first Disney cruise, right? First time?
Yeah, I went on one when I was 4 and I don't really remember it. So
it counts kind of, but you'll have a lot more fun this time around, I'd imagine. But let me just tell you, there's nothing like a Disney cruise. You are going to be just obsessed, because there's so much. I mean, if you're a Walt Disney World fan at all, you go on the Disney Cruise Line, it's just like, oh my gosh, like they're going to pry you off the ship. That's how I am. I cry every time I got to leave, just about. But let me just tell you though, I've always said this, because you know this will be our 5th podcast cruise coming up next summer. Same itinerary, probably. We're going to the Bahamas and so forth on the Dream. But the thing is, when you go on a cruise, they're awesome. No matter what, they're awesome. When you go with friends and family, they are exponentially more awesome, because there's so many great opportunities to like do things with your, you know, friends and family, whether it's like towel folding or the diaper dash or, you know, getting up and jogging on the track or just going to, you know, there's game shows, there's theatrical shows, dinners are so amazing. I mean, the fact that you're going with a large group, and plus planning for a cruise is much easier than all the dining. There's not as many moving parts as your world trip. This is going to be a lot easier.
Yeah,
than
that's what I'm. Yeah, that's easy. What we're looking forward to.
I mean, you just get your stuff and show up. It's that easy. But oh my gosh, you are going to have such a great time. There's nothing like a cruise with friends and family. So you're going to love this one. You're going to love it.
Oh, good. I'm getting more excited now that you talked it up.
All right. Last question, because I didn't ask this about the world trip. Did your mother-in-law have a great 60th birthday? Was it what she was expecting?
Yes, she did. Oh, quick tip too. I made sure with all our dining reservations to let them know that she was celebrating her birthday. So with every meal, she got like a cupcake or some sort of dessert, and we made her wear her button too. So that was a really cool thing too.
Good stuff. Well, you know, this was a great way to start a Monday. I appreciate it. You know, Mondays can be tough sometimes, but it's always fun with a virtual trip down to Walt Disney World. And even got to sneak in a little cruise talk today here, too. So, Tricia, thanks so much for kicking off the week with us. And have a great one out in Indiana.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at the Wisdom of Walt. Two great books for the dog days of summer. You got the Wisdom of Walt and the newer book, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt. You know, one's about Disneyland. One is about Walt Disney World. Both focus on the life of Walt Disney himself, chasing his dreams, getting the most out of those around him, and then transferring those lessons to our real life. How can we be better with our friends, family, coworkers? Get fired up for life. And these books do just that. So check them out today over at thewisdomofwalt.com. And of course, you don't want to stand in line. You don't want to be in Africa on that bridge waiting for Flight of Passage. You know what? Sometimes you just have to do it. But I'll tell you what, our friends over at touringplans.com are going to give you great information to know when to zig when everybody else is zagging. And you're just like, I'm not waiting in that this time because I know in 32 minutes I can, you know, only wait 12 minutes. Whatever it is, they got great touring plans to keep you out of lines, seeing the most amount of attractions possible on your next vacation. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. And we're on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And we sure hope that you will join us at the Indy Disney Meet. We're going to be in Indianapolis. Just check it out, IndyDisneyMeet.com. There's a Facebook group as well. We're going to be on the main stage. And one of the things that's going to be happening during that meet at the very end, we're giving out a vacation to Walt Disney World. That's going to be at the end of our live show from the main stage. So check it out. Be with us. Join us at the Indy Disney Meet to benefit Give Kids the World. Hope to see you in Indy. All right. So for Tricia, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.